Okay, guys, we're getting into Dinei Shor HaMoed, deep into Shina Shor HaMoed today. Okay, let's go. Okay, a little bit of Chazara, what we've seen, where we're heading today. Where's everyone today? They're still eating breakfast or they're still in bed? Okay, losing opportunities to be great, settling for mediocrity. Kills me, guys. It kills me when you undersell yourselves. Okay, you guys have to stand up and take control. Okay, we'll see what we can do. Anyway, let's discuss what we've seen until now. I know that Alex is helping one of the boys. He's not feeling well, so I'll give a little credit to Alex. He told me before one of the boys is a little ill today. Okay, so we saw three highlights that moved us from the classic and standard definition of Shor HaMoed. The classic and standard definition of Shor HaMoed, which is what we'll talk about a little bit later, we'll just reinforce it a little bit later, is that a person can't see it coming. It's unexpected for an animal to go on a violent rampage. To put it into the Gemara's language on Daf Tesvav, Palganiska Kanasa, Stam Shivarim Becheska Shimur Kaime, you can't expect your animal to go goring. It's not your fault. You didn't see it coming. You're not a Poshea. You pay Chatzin Ezek. You shouldn't even pay anything. The Torah gives you a Kanas, Palganiska Kanasa. That's the standard view of Karen. And the Moed process is to make you more of a Poshea. All of a sudden, you see a rock scoring once, and scoring twice, and scoring a third time. You can assume the animal was violent, and you just didn't know it. Ho-ha-ha. Or your calm, tranquil, docile animal has now become a violent animal. Not ho-ha-ha, but hergel. Either way, you know you have a violent animal in your hand. You have to watch that animal. If we didn't have any sugyas about Shor HaMoed, that's what we would think. If the only sugya of Shor HaMoed was on Daf Tesvav, that would be our default line of reasoning. You'd have no way to expect an animal to be violent. You're not a poshea at all. You shouldn't pay at all, but the Torah gives you a knas of chatzi nezek. After repeated negichos, we have proven or generated violence in this animal. You have to be more careful, and if not, you pay nezek shelling. So far, we saw three general concepts that may make us think that this is a little bit different. Not really three, it's two, one and a half, but the biggie was Rabbi Yehuda. If the process of becoming a moed were just repeated negichos that proves or indicates violent tendencies or generates violent tendencies, then we would paskin like Rav Meir. We'd be very inclined to say that if richak negichos of chayev, kirev lakol shekein. Why does Rabbi Yehuda require that the three negichos be spread over 3 days? Is it because he wants to take away any excuses for the animal to have a bad day, but he agrees with the basic idea? Or is Rabbi Yehuda's movement, as it sounds like, as he proves it from Zava, is Rabbi Yehuda saying that to become a moed, it takes more than just generating or indicating violent tendencies? There's a formal status that has to change. We don't really know what that status is. We're going to dig today into the details of how you change the status and what the status change is. But the fact that you have to spread it over 3 days, according to Rabbi Yehuda, indicates that we're not just proving or generating violent tendencies, we're creating a status change. That was a big break. That was the first shiur we had. The second shiur we had, Erev Shabbos, we saw two corollaries of this. Corollary number one is, you know what? Maybe it's not just Rabbi Yehuda from whom we can infer that Moed is not just proving or generating tendencies, but it's something else more formal. Maybe that's the offset between Rebbe, who normally takes the Chazaka at two, but by Moed, at least the way Tosfos understands against the Chachmei Svar, would require three. We don't know why. Tosfos doesn't give us any information about that. But possibly, potentially, the other areas in Yevamos, they're all hochacha, either hochacha or hergel. Whereas Moed is more of a formal process, and a formal process requires three and not two. We would never have known that. Once we've seen Rabbi Yehuda, we want to read it back into Rebbe. The third issue we saw is we start to see that there's a very, very radicalization of Rabbi Yehuda. This was Rava's position. Rava within Rabbi Yehuda said that you actually pay not during Negicha Revius, but during Negicha Shlishis. So we saw many Rishonim say it's not really what Rava means. You don't pay Negicha Shlishis, that's impossible. We saw Rabbeinu Ezriel or Rabbeinu Ezra, we don't really know, and Tosfos saying, no, what Rabbi and Rava are really arguing about is whether Negicha Revius can be on that third day or a separate day. We start to think about maybe two models in Rabbi Yehuda. Then we saw the most radical form, which is Rashi, Pshat, and Rava Kama. We start to think about how that seems to indicate Chaloshem, because if we're just hergel, it's all about the Baal knowing, and there's no way to be mechayivim before Negicha Revius. Whereas if it's a Chaloshem, I can start to think about the animal damage became a moed and pays Nezek Shalem both on that third Negicha. So that's what we've seen until now. What we're taking with us moving forward is we have two models for Mu'ud, obviously. We're going to try to sharpen those models, the classic two models. And in Rabbi Yehuda, we don't really know what Rabbi Yehuda meant. When Rabbi Yehuda said you need 3 days, is it because condensation isn't indicative, because they could have had a bad day, or because he really is a halosheim person and that's a shita? Okay? And now we're going to get into the real details of how to make an animal Mu'ud. What does it take to make an animal? I want you to understand that now we're shifting to a much more micro-detailed conversation. And until now, we had a general conversation. How many times do you need? Two or three? How many times, or is it time, or is it events? Kirv Nigichosav, or days? Now we're starting to break open the shell and say, how do you actually make an animal into a Mu'ud? What does it take to make an animal into a Mu'ud? And I'm going to repeat again, this is really important. If you don't get this background in your head, you're going to be lost in the sukkah. There are two models we classically had on Daf Tesvav for becoming a Mu'ud. There's a Palganiska Mimona model. We don't paskin Palganiska Mimona. But that basically assumes that a Keren Tam should be Nezek Shalim, because you should expect a Keren Tam animal to do damage. And you're a full, or at least a quasi-full Poshea. Maybe not as much of a Poshea as a Mu'ud, but every Keren Tam starts out as a Poshea, and therefore the shift from Keren Tam to Mu'ud isn't really escalating or augmenting your Pshia. It's just, you know, the Torah gave you a discount 2-3 times until, you know, you get used to it. But essentially, the move from Tam to Mu'ud, the transformation from Tam to Mu'ud, Palganiska Mimona, is not a Pshia augmentation. It's simply, you should be Chayiv Nezek Shalim from the get-go. It's a little less fill-in-the-blanks than regular Shein and Regel. So the Torah gave you a discount 3 times, you get to pay Chatzin Nezek. Once your discount expires, it expires. You used up your rights. So the move from Tam to Mu'ud is not really augmenting and intensifying Pshia and warning the Baal and changing the status of the animal. It's just eliminating your 3-time discount. The Torah gives you 3 half-credit discounts. You can, oh, I'm paying Nezek Shalim here. I'll use one of my discounts, right? I'll use a second one of my discounts. And once those discounts run out, you're finished. That's Palganiska Mimona. And anything we're going to say today that sounds like that is going to be Palganiska Mimona, and it's going to be a problem, because we don't paskin Palganiska Mimona. Here we have a Mefurish Gemara, remember, Tesvav from the base, Hashta Damina and Palganiska Knossa, Hani Kalba Dachal Imri. The Palganiska Knossa is our frame of reference. We start off already not really knowing what's happening. You don't expect your animal to go goring. You're not a poshea. You shouldn't pay anything. Oh, yeah, I'll give you a knas, just give you some knas. And then the shift from Tam to Mu'ud is much, much more dramatic. It means you now get used to the fact that you have a violent animal, you should be a little more careful, you're more of a poshea. Maybe more than that, we change the chaloshem on top of that, which is what we've talked about. So everything we're talking about today should naturally fit under the rubric, under the roof of Palganiska Knasa. If we hear a pshat that a Rishon struggles to say that sounds like Palganiska Mimona, Gabi, I want you to go, I want you to be the buzzer, okay? Sounds like it's wrong. Wait a second. And that will help us appreciate the sugya, because there are some ideas in the sugya that are so hard to handle, so hard to wrap our heads around, that Rishonim are going to start saying things that sound like, hey, that's a Palganiska Mimona concept. We have to make it make sense, and we're going to obviously try to work more within Palganiska Knossa. So we can use Palganiska Mimona as our out of bounds. Oh, that's out of bounds. Why'd you go out of bounds? Because you couldn't throw in the middle of the field. We're going to try to throw in the middle of the field. The middle of the field is Palganiska Knossa. Palganiska Knossa is, I got to give my Super Bowl Sicha Wednesday night, because I won't be here next week. So get ready. Wednesday night Super Bowl, famous Super Bowl Sicha. Okay. So let's start the sugya. Okay? Now, what you're going to see in this sugya, if you want to watch the Super Bowl, what you're going to see in this sugya, wait a second, before you leave, is a very, 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 very important tool, enough to make Noam stand for a few minutes, even though he's going to buy himself extra coats because he's fearing the worst, okay? So stand for a minute, okay? We have the Gemara speaking in very, 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 very dramatic language. Yude Gavra, Yude Turah. And yet the only nafkamina sounds like only one nafkamina. But my nafkamina, this, that, and the other. As we'll see. And that, not only this, that, and the other, but only this. And that reminds us a little bit of Ishim Ishim Chitzav and Ishim Ishim Mimona, where at the end, if we make Chitzav Lavdavka and Mimona Lavdavka, Chitzav could be Balatakal, Mimona could be Balatakal. The only difference is Dal Dvarim and maybe Tamun. So we'll have the same experience here. It sounds like the Gemara is providing two totally different paradigms for mu'ud. Are you making the animal into a mu'ud? Are you making the person into a mu'ud, if we read it literally? But yet, when the Gemara starts saying, "Lamai nafkamina," there's really only one nafkamina, which may make us feel like we don't really have two totally different models. We have only one model for what becomes a mu'ud. It's just one slight, subtle nafkamina as to what we'll see the issue is. You can go now. So we have to really hone in on that. Okay, this is a very, very important methodology. Don't let your mind immediately run to the extremes. When the Gemara, remember, the Gemara is also operating in an oral tradition. So it's easier for the Gemara to say dramatic things that stick in our mind that are binary. Remember, at the beginning of the year, every chakira I gave you was very black and white and binary, this or the other. There was no option three. There was no subtlety. People say, maybe you can say this, and I shut you down. No, don't. They're trying to build categorical thinking. And if you just see categorical thinking, it has to be black and white. Yes and no. This or the other. And then all of a sudden, we realize, so it's not that way. It was just me trying to teach you to see things clearly. So the same thing with Gemara. The best way for Chazal to convey these very subtle is sometimes to talk in very, for no one is going to ever forget this language, Yudit Kuri, Yudit Gavra, as they're both saying, only one small nafgamina. So always be on the lookout when the Gemara speaks in very, very escalated terms. It may not really be that's what's happening. It may just be more subtle machlokas. And we're going to see that today. We'll have to learn a little of this again tomorrow. We're going to start building this machlokas and see, it's not really Yudit. I'm not going to say which one because I want you to help me. But it's just basically changing the nafgamina. Okay, so that's our introduction to today's shiur. Let me take out my notes if I still have them. Never know if I make it with my notes to the area to the base match. Okay, so let's start. Okay, you tell me. Ibailu, you de tura, you de gavra. And the Gemara says nafgamina for how you schedule the ha'ada slash hasra. Today, listen carefully, we're not going to distinguish between the edus and the warning. Our primary distinction is going to be between the negichos and the activity in Beis Din, hadah slash hasra. Tomorrow, as we get more detailed, and we'll see Rabbi Chaim, we're going to start to distinguish maybe between the edus and the warning that the edus provides. So when I say today edus or hasra, I mean the same thing. I mean bringing the person to court, as opposed to the negichos. And that's what the Gemara feels is an afkamina between Yudit Tura, Yudit Gavra. Can you have one hasra after the three negichos, or you need hasraos after each negichah? Tell me, which makes more sense? And you get extra points if you tell me how you got to it. You don't have to because it could be intuitive, but tell me which Rishon took that same line of reasoning. Oh, this makes more sense. Let me try to come up with a radical Svara for the other Shita. We're not going to take the radical Svara, but at least it will train us. Oh, that's the way to learn the Sugya. Let's think a more moderate Shita. Which makes more sense to you? How do you make a Shohar Mu'ud? Yudei Tura or Yudei Gavra? Said otherwise, is one hasra after three negichos enough? Or you need interlacing hasras after each negicha? What would you say? Gavi? Yudit Tura. Right, Yudit Tura. The negichos is what makes the animal into a mu'ud. Obviously, the guy has to know about it, or else there's no escalated pshia. So it's enough for the Baal to find out about the three negichos of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, on Wednesday. And then going forward, he has to watch his animal more carefully. He has a violent animal, without saying any chaloshim, until we have a chiddush, until we're forced to say chaloshim, Henry, we don't want to say. That's how we know the chiddush makes sense. So the person has been warned on Wednesday about the negichos that took place Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Okay. He's chayev because he's more of a poshah. There is a shita, we'll have to think about this, okay, get ready with the buzzer, Gavi. There is a shita that says that Yudei Tura doesn't even need a hasra, takes it literally. Basically, the person has to pay for the fourth negicha, even though he wasn't warned between negicha 3 and negicha 4. Who raises that possibility, which is really strange, but it's a literal reading of Yudei Tura. Anyone remember? The Sefer Hashlama. The Sefer Hashlama, your Makaros. One of the Chachmei Provence, one of the French Rishonim. We have it on Bava Kamma, Rabbeinu Meshulam. Okay. I don't have him, sorry. So, borrow from someone. Look at the Sefer Hashlama. He says, Hu Hadin, the Havi Matzi Lameimar, Azariah, why I like this is because he's sensing why does the Gemara only give one nafgamina? If I have two so different paradigms, there are 100 nafgaminas. So he takes those 100 nafgaminas as a given. The Gemara doesn't gavra. It sounds like it's not as big a machlokas. He says, Ari, if you did tura, then who needs the gavra? Just have negicha one on Sunday, negicha two on Monday, negicha three on Tuesday, negicha four on Wednesday. You pay for negicha four as long as on Wednesday, Thursday, we know that there were three prior negichos without Elisha the Baal HaBehema ever finding out. Now, that's crazy. And he himself rejects it. But that's what it sounds like if you take Yudit Torah literally. It's who adin dematzi the memar nafkamina heichid lo asid al shlisha negichas rishonos ad shenagach negicha revius. We only find out about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday on Thursday after negicha revius because now the animals are more. Who cares? That's a very extreme shot. That sounds like why would you pay? Get ready, Gavi. Why would you pay for the fourth negicha even though you had no advance warning and you have no escalated pshia because you had no advance warning? That sounds like it's influenced by which approach? What? Pagadis Kimamona. That basically, you're a posha from the get-go. You've got three discounts. When your discounts run out, you got to pay Nezek Shalem. So, Sunday Negicha, Monday Negicha, Tuesday Negicha. I don't know about Wednesday Negicha, but by Wednesday's Negicha, I've run out of discounts. I use my discount for 50% on Sunday's Negicha. I use my discount for 50% on Monday's Negicha. I use my discount for 50% on Tuesday's Negicha. I was always a poshea. It's not like you have to make me more of a poshea between 3 and 4. I don't have to find out between 3 and 4. I just run out of discounts, and I have to pay. We don't like that. I don't like that. Most Hashanah don't like that. Because it's a Palgan Niska Mamona inspired concept in Yudei Torah. And we believe, Adam, that this whole sugya is unfolding within the influence of Palgan Niska Kenosa, because that's how we paskin. That's how we view Bava Kama, right? You want to come back Shana Abed, maybe we'll come Bava Kama, we'll come on the Yama Palgan Niska Mamona. But we're learning about Vakam, 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 Niska, Knasa. That sounds like our frame of reference. Okay? So, when you and I say Yudei Torah, we don't really mean what the Ashlama suggests. This is a radical version. It means you don't need interlacing Hasros. You just need one Hasra on the end, Zev, to update the guy to let him know he's got a violent animal. And if you don't watch your violent animal, you're more negligent, gross negligent, Moshe. That's what you and I would say. And if Eliyah, there's only one option in the sugya, we'd end shir now and go back to the base medrash and carry on. The problem is, as Gavri helped us, how do you understand Yudei Gavra? Who cares about the person? Now, I care about the person, but why would I have to interlace? Why would I have to interlace the hasra? So I would need negicha hasra, negicha hasra, negicha hasra. Anyone can tell me who gives a very, very radical approach to Yudei Gavra, because it's hard to understand, and therefore we have to say something radical, which we're also going to not reject, but we're not going to take this as our mainstream approach. Who am I talking about? Gavi, which Rishon says I have to give a svar? We don't, again, we didn't know Ramban here, Bava Kama, there's no Rashba. We're working underhanded, and we're doing our best. Which Rishon gives a svar for Yudei Gavra? Anyone see a svara? No, he alludes to it. The Meiri. Very good. We'll see the Meiri Svara. Gavi is going to get ready with the buzzer. The buzzer that we use to reject the Hashlamas Yudei Torah, we're going to reject the Meiri's Yudei Gavra, and then we'll be ready to start our sugya. Okay, so again, where are we right now? We, as Gavi helped us, we understood that the simple pshat is Yudei Torah. We saw an extreme version of Yudei Torah, but we're not going to even consider that right now. But Yudei Torah makes sense. Now, namely, the animal did three negichos. You were updated after negicha three. You now know going forward that you have a violent animal on your hands. You have to watch. You didn't watch Bein Nesek Shalim. Yudei Torah. We only need one hasra after three negichos. Why would you need hasra after each negicha? Rather than one hasra after the three negichos, why would you say Yudei Gavra? So what does the Meiri say? We open up the Meiri. The Meiri says, well, listen to this language. Meiri says, only Yudei Gavra kasi ratzalom. Here's my svar, because I need a svar for Yudei Gavra. Shemen adin af b'parm rishona hayad nagchan. Elishatara kivna lachos al balea. Ari, you want to take over for Gavri? Where's the buzzer? That's classic Palaganiska Mamona theory. We don't like that. The Meiri has no choice because he doesn't have a better svara. Minadin Pamishana Yanagchan. This animal was a Nagchan from the very beginning. Ela Shatara Kivna, Lachos al Balashal Shali Machisur Shalosh Pamakon Nigichalavada. And the Torah gives you a discount, but at least at the opposite end of the Hashlama's extreme version of Yudei Torah. in the extreme version of Yudei Torah, your discount runs out after the third Negicha, whether you know it or not. According to the Meiri's approach of Yudei Gavra, your discount exists because you lose your discount after you've been warned three times. But you have to be warned three times. You have to be brought into Basin, hold in the Basin, and go through a process of being, okay, let's, I love Natan, but Natan, you're in the front row. Okay, you ready? Everyone look at Natan. To slap you in the face three times. I didn't realize that. Okay. Don't sue me. I see Hill is already calling the Lord. Okay. Child abuse. Okay? Three times. They're going to slap you in the face three times. You got to come to Basin and get patched three times to show you're a bad guy. Then you run out of your discounts. So you see how you can take a svara and arbitrarily set the goalposts and make it make sense of your deteriorating guy. You say you did Trura. Well, you lose your discount after three times. Or you did Gavra. You keep your discount until you're patched three times in Basin, hold into Basin. Okay? Neither pshat is the pshat we want to take in the sugya. I just want you to see how the Meiri, Adam, correct, tries to find a svara for Yudei Gavra, because it's not intuitive. Intuitive is Yudei Torah, and this is how we're going to start our shir today. Okay? Yudei Torah makes most sense. The animal has proven to be dangerous. You know it's dangerous. You've got your warning on Wednesday about the violent rampage of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You've got to watch your animal. On Thursday, it did damage. Why do we care about interlacing? Evidently, in order to increase, okay, now we're going to start our shiur. Evidently, we have to ask what increases Zev's negligence. The fact that he received a warning on Wednesday about a terror incident or a terror rampage on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Or, maybe psychologically, people only process events if they receive the information in stages. Namely, if Zev were to find out on Wednesday that his animal gored Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, who knows if he's really internalizing how dangerous the animal is. Again, it could be about the person, this TMI, too much information to process at once. It could be that Zev is mature enough to process all the information, but his view of the animal is different because it hasn't occurred over 3 days. But until I have any more information, this is how the svara I would give for you, Degavra. I'll draw it on the board in a moment. Namely, it takes three negichos. Let me erase the board. It takes three negichos to prove or to indicate the animal's violence for the Baal to know and therefore to be more negligent. And the machlokas Yudei Torah, Yudei Gavra, is not who's becoming a muad, whether the Baal is becoming more, the animal's becoming a muad. The animal's becoming a muad. Negicha 1, negicha 2, negicha 3. The question is, what happens if I have Negicha 1, Negicha 2, Negicha 3, followed by one single Hasra? So the Mandi Amar Yehudei Torah says, of course, you've got three Negichos. He finds out about Yom Aleph, Yom Bet, Yom Gimel. The Baal has to know, and he knows, and he's a Poshah. Whereas Yehudei Gavra means, no, you need Negicha, Hasra. Guys, if you don't look at the board today, you're going to miss it, because there's a lot of conjugations and permutations. He needs a hasra after every negicha, because he doesn't process what's really happening enough to be called a super poshea unless he gets a hasra after every shot, right? How many times in yeshiva do I tell you, do we tell you, fill in the blanks? Now, are you guys still accomplishing it? No. Now, why? Part of it is just execution gap. You know it's right, you just can't execute it. Part of it is you may not be processing. So why do teachers repeat messages? Because I told you already. Why do parents repeat messages? Well, when they say, I told you already, that hurts. They don't say, I told you already. Why repeat messages? Because it takes time for people to absorb messages. So machlokas Yudei Torah, Yudei Gavra is not a categorical machlokas. It doesn't have to be, so far. I can get away with explaining the machlokas as what converts the Baal into someone that fully realizes his animal's a poshea. A warning on Wednesday, or a warning and an edus after each negicha. A negicha and an edus. A negicha and an edus. A negicha and an edus. At that point, Yudei Gavra presumes we can know decisively this person has absorbed the information, he knows to watch his animal, and he doesn't watch, therefore he's a poshea. Namely, okay, this is the platform of the shir today. We're going to see why it has to change in a moment. Namely, there is no categorical machlokas between Yehudei Gavra and Yehudei Torah. We're going to see categorical machlokas in between them. But nothing right now is forcing me. If I just have the Gemara, even though the Gemara sounds very dramatic, melodramatic, Yehudei Gavra, Yehudei Torah, since the only nafkamina, if you don't hold like the Hashlama, The only nafkamin is whether you thread the hasros within the nekichos. I don't have to say anything beyond whether I need the threading to create acknowledgement, not the cognizance and awareness or not. According to the Mandiyama Yehudei Tura, one hasroi after three negichos will make the Baal aware and will make him more poshe if he doesn't watch. Whereas the one Mandiyama Yehudei Gavra, I need threaded hasros after every negicha in order for the information to be processed, and that's all I have to say. This right now is the platform of our sugya. Methodologically, what did we do? We came in, we established the intuitive shot, which is Yehudei Tura. We set our framework. It's all operating under Palagniska Knasa. This whole Mu'ud process is trying to create more negligence. And we're going to work with that assumption until we prove otherwise. We saw a very extreme version of Yehudei Tura, but that was just to, you know, open our minds. We saw the Meiri giving a very strange shan Yehudei Gavra. We didn't like it because it sounded antithetical to Palagniska Knasa. And then we suggested a simple pshat that doesn't see a categorical machlokas. What does it take to create awareness and information from part of the Baal that we can now call you a super poshea? Threaded hasraos or one hasra? The big shift in the sugya, which is happening right now, so listen right now, because it's a subtle shift, but it's an important shift. Avi, the simple approach to this sugya is that Yehudei Tura, I'm going to turn off the heat, I'm a little too comfortable this year, so everyone's fashluffing a little, turn off the heat. Okay? The simple pshat, we'll turn it on later when it gets cold. The simple pshat in this sugya is that this question, look at the board, threaded hasros, which is Yehudei, right? I'll just put it, threaded hasros is Yehudei Gavra, as opposed to one hasra, I'll make this black, which is Yehudei Tura, only one hasra. This machlokis has absolutely nothing to do with the Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Machlokis, whether negichos have to be sprinkled on 3 days or condensed into 1 day. This is a machlokis we saw on Thursday, Friday. Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Meir. This is the question we're seeing today. Threaded hasraos or one single hasra? In theory, and based on the way the Gemara presents it, there's no relationship between the two. I just overlay this onto this. Namely, here's the overlay on the bottom. According to Rav Meir, okay, and I'm going to need a few more people. Okay, I'll throw this in the garbage because it's not as strong. According to Rav Meir, I can have all the negichos in 1 day. The box is 1 day. And the machlokas, Yehudei Tura, Yehudei Gavra, I'm going to give you Rashi Tevos. Yehudei Tura means you can have one hasra. Yehudei Gavra means you need hasra between and after each negicha. So according to Rav Meir, the negichos can be in 1 day. If I hold Yehudei Tura, at the end of the day, there could be one edus. If I hold Yehudei Gavra, I need an edus after the 12 o'clock negicha, an edus after the 3 o'clock negicha, an edus after the 5 o'clock negicha. So the machlok is about threaded hasros, or one comprehensive hasra, has nothing to do with the schedule of negichos over time. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, here's the Rabbi Yehuda. You need 3 different days of negichos. Okay, look at the board. So the negichos have to be spread over 3 days. For whatever reason we suggested on Friday and Thursday, whether it's indicative of a haloshem or not. And then the machlokis is, here's the red, machlokis is Yehudei Tura. It's enough to have a hasra after everything, at the end of the 3rd day or maybe on the 4th day. Whereas Yehudei Gavra, I need threaded hasraos. So I need negich hasra, negich hasra, negich hasra, but I don't have to separate the hasraos over days. I have to separate them over days because of the negich hasra over days. But in theory, look carefully, according to Behuda, I can also have this situation. Negicha, hasra, negicha, hasra, on day 2, because I've threaded the hasraos within the negichos. And then on day 3, negicha and hasra, or negicha and then hasra on the day after. I don't have to split the hasraos into days. I have to thread the hasraos within the negichos. The negichos, according to Yehuda, have to be split into days. So I've got 2 totally separate questions, and logically, the way I presented it so far, they really are separate. First, you decide what it takes to make the animal into a mu'ud. What makes the animal into a mu'ud, guys? Negichos. When the negichos have to occur, 1 day or 3 days, that's last week's conversation. Now, there happens to be another factor to make the animal into a mu'ud. The Baal has to know something. How does the Baal know? Yudetura says one bit of information. Yudegavra says installed information. Information in installments. Negicha, and then I was, oh, okay. After I found that each thing, I start to absorb. Imagine Zev. Zev, help me out here. We'll get some volunteers from the audience, okay? I want you to say, oh my gosh, but in increments of higher decibel levels, okay? So start off low and then get more dramatic. First Negicha comes. Second Negicha comes. Oh my. Third Negicha comes. Oh my. Okay, so that's what happens. Zev is trying to process the unfortunate fact that his nice animal Betsy has turned into, I don't know, Rambo. So I have to rename it Rambo. Okay, so I have to thread it, or else Zev's not going to process the information. What's my threading? It depends upon the schedule in the Yichas. Namely, there are two factors in making someone Chayv Nezek Shalim. The primary factor is the Negichos. The secondary but necessary factor is the guy has to find out. What does it mean for a guy to find out? All at once or threaded? So first I make a decision how to schedule the Negichos. That was last week's year. Once I know how big the hole is, I can know whether to thread the Negichos. According to Yudit Gavra, I got to thread Negichos. According to Yudit Kura, I just have one big Hasra at the end of the Negichos. I thread the Hasros. According to Yudit Gavra, Yudit Kura, I can have one big Hasra at the end of the Negichos. So if that's our sugya, then the shir ends. It's not going to end, obviously, because there are other Rishonim. But logically, there's nothing compelling me to say Yudit Kura, Yudit Gavra means anything categorical. It's just to see how loud Zev can say, oh my gosh. Can Zev say, oh my gosh, all at once, Yudit Kura? Or does he need to say it in increments? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You did Gavra, and therefore I have to thread it. What do I thread it between? Well, let's first see the map of Negicha. So that's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Who holds like this? Which Rishon says this mefurish? That the Machloksin are autonomous, which means the logics are autonomous, which means this logic doesn't have to be anything super special. Who says this?
The Ravid.
Excellent. Okay? This is our baseline. And you'll see where the baseline gets interrupted or gets rejected. The Ravid, if you have a Ravid, you can see it. It's not a deep Lamdash Ravid. He's just explaining the fact that these two Machloksin are independent. Very important methodology today. Do you have two separate conversations, or the two conversations are one, which means that there's a dependency that forces you to say something? That's going to be the subtle but crucial shift of today's Shia. The Ravid says, this is on Chaf Dalid, the Ravid says, Ibayilu, Shlosha Yamim de Katani. Liude Tura or Liude Gavra. Who adin to come by la leave them on the Yam or Shlosha Pamin. If you look at the Gemara says, okay, the language of the Gemara is Iboy Lahu Dafchav Dalid Shlosha Yamim Diktani Liude Tura Liude Gavra. Sounds like the Gemara is voting for a Behuda. Or says, no. We possibly got Behuda. The Gemara is using Behuda's language. But the same question logically can be superimposed to a man. Maybe the machloka is how many negichos? Obviously, Yishai. Look at me. Obviously, maybe this will change. But obviously, you need three negichos to create more. That's a baseline. The negichos have to be scheduled based on Remeir Behuda. We obviously need Hasra before the fourth negicha, unless you hold like the Ashlama. But wait, I don't know. Got to wake you guys up today. We don't hold like that. I got to find something to rip up. Now, we don't hold like the Ashlama. That's crazy. You need some Hasra. Do you need Hasra? One Hasra? Do you need Hasra? It's in stages. Okay, now what are the negichos? Separate question. There are two factors necessary for Mord. Negichos and Hasra. Negichos are maybe the clocked in. Hasra will decide. One Hasra, multiple Hasra. One Hada, multiple Hadas. Who changes it? Who reads the Gemara literally? That the whole question is only a question within Rabbi Yehuda, not within Rabbi Meir, as the Pashas of the Gemara is. Who am I talking about? Rashi. Now the Lundus begins. This is the break in the sugya. Why is this only a question according to Yehuda? Let's first see Rashi. I mean, Rashi is not a big Lundus. He just reads what the Gemara says. What does Rashi say? Daf Chav Dalet Amin Aleph. Liude Tura. Vilemute Hecha Denagach Biyom Echad. O Liude Gavra Liyayed Bal Hashar Bi'in Shlosha Yamin. Now, we're going to talk about this language in Rashi again and again and again, but again, it's not a Chiddush in Rashi. The Ravid changes the Gemara. A simple reading of the Gemara is Yibayalu having passed in the Rabbi Yehuda. Only now, Noam, we get to a second question of Yudit or Yudit Gavra. According to Rabbi Meir, I'll draw this on the board. There's no problem in the world. Obviously, simple pshat gavra Yudit or. Three negichos, one day, 2 days, 3 days, I don't care, one asra. But once Rabbi Yehuda took the jump and said, you need 3 days. You need 3 days. Now let's start thinking about the Eidos and Beis Din, where that gets scheduled. In Reb Meir's universe, there's no room for you de gafa. In Rabbi Yehuda's universe, there is room for that strange shita called Yehuda Gafra, which we're going to have to see what that means, and we'll start today. Okay? I just want you to see how the sugya breaks. Until I get to this unnatural association between Rabbi Yehuda shita and the Yehuda Gafra Yehuda Tura position, I don't have to say anything for the sugya to make sense. I have to give a svar? Okay, I'll give a svar. The Zeb svar. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Okay, that's Yehuda Gafra. Until I reach this Rashi, I don't have to say anything. Is when I reach Rashi, then all of a sudden the wheels of Lambda start turning. Why is there a dependency between a Behuda and Yehuda Gafra? What do the two have to do with one another? Why do I only get, if I hold like Ramer, Yehuda Tura. Hold like a Behuda, okay, now let's start thinking about it. You've opened the Pandora's box, now let's start thinking about Yehuda Gafra. Why is that dependent on Rabbi Yehuda? That's what we're going to start to crack open today. And once we start cracking open, we'll start cracking open the shell and getting down to the core of what's happening in the city. Okay, that's we again, it's a much, much more subtle issue. It's hard to see because Rashi doesn't hit you in the face with it. But conceptually, that's what should break the sugya for you. Why are the two? And if you didn't see it in Rashi, you should have seen it backwards in the Ravid, because the Ravid is saying, who I did? Wait a second, the Gemara doesn't say that, Ravid. So it sounds like there are other ways to learn. Tosfos doesn't really tell us, but it's Rashi versus the Ravid. We'll see the Rambam. Okay, so let's erase the board. Let's redo the board according to Rashi. This is the board according to the Ravid. Namely, first I decide whether I hold like Rav Meir or like Rabbi Yehuda. Once I decide whether Rav Meir read about the Negichos, then I make a secondary decision how to schedule the Hasras. The Gavri, the Torah. But now we have a totally, totally different map. So we're going to erase the board, and we'll start playing with our maps. Okay? I'm just going to use one color because it's just going to get confusing, but I think we can deal with one color today. Okay. So let's see. According to Reb Meir, this is Reb Meir on the side, we hold Negicha, 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 and it's clear that one Hasra on the end, this we know to be Yehuda Tura. Yutaf is Yehuda Tura. That's in the back. That's the baseline. That makes sense to us, Gavri. The whole Gavri. The whole Gavri business is ridiculous, so Yehuda Tura makes sense. But within Rabbi Yehuda, once we move from Rav Meir to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda requires 3 days. Okay, guys, look at the board. Here are two options. Yehuda Tura within Rabbi Yehuda says, Negicha, 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 and then Hasra at the end. Yehuda Gavra, according to Rabbi Yehuda, either means Negicha Hasra, Negicha Hasra, Negicha Hasra, or we'll see something else later, but at least it means this. It may mean something else, but just to open your minds, what would Rabbi Yehuda say in this case? Just to open your minds to think about, what about Negicha Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Hasra, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Can I break them apart? But that's our next stage. But at the very least, one collective Hasra will be insufficient according to Mandiyama Yudei Tura. We need threaded Hasras, Dafka within Rabbi Yehuda. Dafka within Rabbi Yehuda, the option of threading is raised. In Reb Meir, no one needs threading, and quite frankly, who would need threading? One Hasra is enough. Oh my gosh. The threading, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, we talked about that before, Zevzo incremental, oh my gosh, is only something we consider within Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have to analyze Yehuda Tura, Yehuda Gavra as a sub-question within Rabbi Yehuda. Once you take Rabbi Yehuda, then I've got two options. If you hold like Rabbi Meir, crazy. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, now I can see two options. Namely, there are two options to understanding Rabbi Yehuda. One which manifests itself in Yehuda Tura, one collective Hasra. One which manifests itself in Yehuda Gavra, threaded Hasras. So help me. What's the simple way and what's the Chiddush today? Who can think, I'm scratching my head facetiously, of two options in Rabbi Yehuda, one which would support Yehuda Tura, one which would require Yehuda Gavra and threaded Hasras. If Rabbi Yehuda's Richak Negichos is based on Hergel. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Meir, it's just Hergel. But you can't have Hergel in one condensed day because it's a bad day. But it's all based on Hergel. Who held that it's all based on Hergel, Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda's a Hergel man. A great French Rishon. Who was captured and held ransom? Ruttenberg. Rabbi Yehuda's a fan of Hergel. How do we know Rabbi Yehuda's a fan of Hergel? Because you could apply Kiriv in non-Muad settings, such as St. Talamatar. Ruttenberg says we can use the Kiriv trick in the St. Talamatar, and even Rabbi Yehuda would buy in. That's how the Magen Avraham there. What do you mean? How could you use Kiriv? That's a Rabbi Meir thing. And then Ruttenberg didn't answer. No, it's a Rabbi Yehuda thing also, as long as it's not Sharmoy. The opposite way. Right, okay. He's a Kiriv man. Yeah, he's a Kiriv man. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Kiriv. But Sharmoy just doesn't allow... Okay, whatever. Skip that for a moment. It can work in both ways. If Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Kiriv, but he feels that you can't... I'm sorry. Take one step back. If Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Muad is Hergel, he just disqualifies Kiriv because the animal had a bad day. Who said that, Svara? That Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies Kiriv because the animal had a bad day? Miri. So Rabbi Yehuda is a Hergel man. He just disqualifies Kiriv because the animal had a bad day. So if he's a Hergel man, he would accept this map. Negicha, negicha, negicha. You can condense the negichas because the animal had a hard day. But with one hasra, I realize that my animal is now violent, or has become violent, has proven to be violent, I have to watch. However, if Rabbi Yehuda is a chaloshem man, then I would need to spread the hasraos so that I can create the chaloshem over time, and the hasraos have to create, we may reject this in a moment, the same word over time. Namely, these two options in Rabbi Yehuda, model A for today's shir, we're going to put this on the side, on the shelf that's now above Yosef, because Zev is not here, so it's to call it the Yosef shelf. The second we'll call it the Adir shelf. I see how many guys I can put to sleep today. So we'll put it on the sleeper shelf over there. Model A is, this is Hergel within Rabbi Yehuda. Even though it's Hergel, you need separate days for Negichos to avoid the bad day excuse. But Hergel, becoming a Moor through Hergel would allow one Hasra. But if to become a Moed, you need a Chaloshem, so I need to spread Negichos over 3 days, not just to avoid the bad day excuse. I need to spread Negichos over 3 days because it takes 3 days to create a Chaloshem, like by Zava, to change the halachic status, like by Zava. Therefore, every event that changes the status has to be spread over 3 days. Negicha Hasra, Negicha Hasra, Negicha Hasra. So this question of Yehudei Tura, Yehudei Gavra, which is only raised in Rabbi Yehuda, maybe another way of raising our famous question. Namely, we'll get you a question in a moment, Alex. Rav Meir holds, it's Hergel, let's just assume. Queen should be Huda. You need Richik. Is Richik also based on Hergel, but you want to avoid the bad day excuse? Or is Richik indicative of it being a Chaloshem? The Nafgamina could be Yehudei Tura, Yehudei Gavra, according to Rashi. If it be Huda's Hergel, okay, you need spread the Gichas to avoid the bad day excuse. But the Hasra could be one Hasra. Whereas if Rabbi Yehuda felt it's a Chaloshem that has to happen over time, then everything necessary to change the animal status has to be spread over time. Negich Hasra, Negich Hasra, Negich Hasra, then the animal's status changes. This is model A for our Nafkamina. Namely, here's another table. If you hold like Rav Meir, you hold Yehudei Tura. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then we have a suffix, Yehudei Tura, Yehudei Gavra, Yud Tes, Yud Gimel. What's the suffix, Yehudei Tura, Yehudei Gavra? One model for the suffix according to Yehuda is Hergel or Chaloshem according to Yehuda. If it's Hergel, Yehudei Tura, one Hasra. If it's Chaloshem, Yehudei Gavra, I need multiple Hasraos spread over time because anything that changes the animal status has to be spread over time. And that's the way I would understand the sub-question in Rabbi Yehuda. In Rabbi Meir, it's certainly Hergel. In Rabbi Yehuda, may be Chaloshem, or may not be. Nafkamina, how many Hasraos you need? Alex.
Why can't we say that the thing that really makes the animal Muad is the Negichos?
Okay, that's the next model. It's not a Kasha, it's another option. Okay. Alex is now moving the share to the next level. Maybe model B for understanding Yehudei Torah, Yehudei Gavra, right? Take your questions and try to see them as an option rather than a question. It seems like I'm just saying the same thing, but it's very hard when you're learning to flip the perspective. Okay, this is, you're asking a question, it's coming from a position, there's only one way to see it. Rather than saying, oh, my question represents one way to see it and there's another way to see it. It's a really important trick to, it takes a while alum to say, I'm not asking a kasha, I'm giving a model in the sukkah. Very often when you're in high school, you're learning, you know, kasha teretz, you get into, okay, you say something, I'll try to disprove it. Rather than saying, you said something, I'll offer something else, and my question will lead me to something else, rather than trying to disprove what you said. Okay, so Alex, by asking a question, is now saying the following. Alex is saying, really? Now say it as a model. Really, Alex? Can anyone help out Alex? Really? The question of Yehudei Torah, Yehudei Gavra, according to you, is not a question of Hergil versus Chal HaShem. It's really, everyone holds that the 3 days are necessary for? Chal HaShem. The question is, say it right, what changes the animal status? Is it only or Nicha Nasra? So now Alex is raising the second way to view the Machlokas Yehudei Torah, Yehudei Gavra, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, we already know that Rabbi Yehuda is a Chal HaShem man. That's why he needs to spread it over 3 days. The question is, what's the it factor? What's the it that makes the status change that you need to spread over 3 days? By Zava, it's really simple. The bleeding makes her into a Zava. Here we want to know what makes the animal into a Mu'ad. The Negichos? Or the Eidus in Beis Din? Ah, now I'm starting to get Henry. We talked about this. Now I'm starting to roll up my sleeves. What changes Azraya, the animal status? What changes the animal status? You and everything is the Negichos. All of a sudden, there's a whole new model in our minds. Negichos and Hasra. Can anyone tell me again? We don't have Rishonim to help us here, but can anyone tell me, like, what's up for grabs here? You tell me, why would you say Negichos changed the animal status? Why would you say Negichos and Eidos slash Hasra? What would you say, Zol David?
Negichos
is
changing the animal status. Hasra is changing the
animal
status.
Maybe, but that's we're not there yet. Right? You're jumping 3 steps ahead, which we'll get to. But I don't have to say that yet. And if I don't have to say it, I don't want to say. So ratchet it down a little bit. It's important, okay? When you start in Lumbus, the easiest way is to go to an extreme because they seem radically different. It's harder to make more subtle distinctions than taking you step by step. We'll see what forces us to say what you're saying, but we don't have to say it yet. So can you still say, Yisrael David, that the animal is changing, but what changes the animal? The fact that it gored or the fact that Eidos was brought in Beis Din about it goring? Okay, sharpen it a little bit. Sharpen it a little bit. You see, I'm pushing you into a smaller box to make the sharper distinctions. We want to know what changes the animal status. Is it the negichos that make it into, let's say, I'll just give you the devil's advocate position, or not the baseline position, the animal gored is now a mazik. We don't really care about the Eidos Hasaram basin. That's just necessary to tip off the bowel to let him know about it, to get him on board. Or something about the Eidos and basin changes the animal status. Not the Baal. We'll talk about that. Yehudei Gavra doesn't mean the Baal changes. That's just a very dramatic way of saying it, because the only nafkamin is threaded hasaras or non-threaded hasaras. So what does it mean that the Eidos makes the animal? What makes the animal to a mazik? Come on, tell me. You know as well as I do. This is all just, you know, us trying to put together the X's and O's in the sugya. What do you think? Dear?
It's either the negichos themselves, like the animal is becoming dangerous, right, or it's the halachic status.
Right, and what is that? No, we're still within halachic status. We're changing the status. The question is, what status are we giving it, or how do we give it that status? That's our space right now. We're still within Chal HaShem. It's model two, right? Alex is telling me we're changing the status of the animal. Pashtus is, God for you, detour. The animal does 3 negichos. We don't need hasra to change the status. Why would I need hasra to change the animal status? What does Hasra slash Hadad do to change animal status? What is Beis Din? What's the role? We'll talk about this a lot tomorrow, but what's the role of Beis Din? What do you think?
Can an animal change its own halachic status?
either so the animal's goring itself is enough to change its status, or based in is changing the animal's status.
Ah, okay. So I was already mentioning one idea, that the machlokas is not what the status is changing. The status is becoming a mazik. The question is, how do you change a status? Can a status change on its own? Or do you need, give me a word. Do you need a external, say more sharp, the external is very broad, correct? Do you need some proclamation that Beis Din will give? They don't have to say Harei Zemur, but effectively by receiving Eidos, what makes the Eidos / Hasra more of a status changer? It's now public information. What role does public perspective have in changing the status of an animal? Anyone know in Shas where public perspective becomes a generator of a status change? I alluded to it a couple of days ago, Cheskas Gimel Shanim, where everyone knows that you've eaten the person's fruit on the land for 3 years, and you are proclaiming yourself in the public eye to be the Baal. People now see you as the Baal because you've done something very public. So we would have thought until this year began today that to become a mazik is just essentially doing three negichos and becoming a mazik. It's internal. Now we're seeing that until, we're not yet there yet, Yisrael, that was what you said. We're still turning the shore's status, converting the shore's status, but the mechanism for converting the shore's status is not just that it gored, but that it was hauled into Beis Din and criminalized and indicted and proclaimed about. That's one way to say this machlokas. Another way to say the machlokas is, I'll start the sentence, see if you can finish the sentence. We're not changing the shore status into a mazik, for that negichas would be enough. We're changing the shore status into a... fill in the blanks. We're trying to change the status into something that can only happen in Beis Din. What can only happen in Beis Din? Before we said we're changing the shore status, these are all very, very sub-nafkaminas. If you're not getting all these chakiras, it's fine. We're just exploring, why would you say this? If we're all within... Alex's hello shame change. Why would you need a public proclamation to make that change? Is it just logistics? You can't change the status into a mazik without some public awareness. Or the substance of the status change changes. The status change is not becoming a mazik from not being a mazik, but becoming a... Muad. Well, that's just you're hiding behind a word. A word that's not mazik.
A warned animal?
Animals. You know, you're insulting the animal. I don't have an answer to that question. I want you to think about it. The simple way is to say we're still changing into a shame masik. The question is how you make a shame masik. Through nechichos or through some external Alex public declaration and public knowledge or formal or basin proclaims it, not by saying it, but by receiving edus. But this is where you have to move if you hold like Rashi. So again, I'll put the two models on the board. Pashtus of the sugya, let's reset the sugya, then Yisrael David will move forward. We'll see which Rishonim force us to move forward. Pashtus of the sugya is Yudei Torah. Three Negichos and Hasra. Hergel, Hochacha, the guy knows about it. Period. Why would you need Yudei Gavra? Zemiri says something very, very creative, but it sounds like it's based on the logic of the Paganis Kamona, and we don't like that logic. So we're going to try to remain within the Palganiska Knessa universe, where you're not a Poshev in the first couple rounds, and you increase your Pshia. So we had a nice Svara for why you'd have to thread Hasros. It's a Zev Svara. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. The person will only fully absorb and assimilate it when it happens in stages, right? Like you know, right? Things that happen once, you tend to look aside. Things that happen repeatedly. So it's not just the repeated Negichos, but I heard myself being accused 3 times. That's going to create a level of fight. Could you imagine, right? Maybe we should do this in yeshiva. Maybe, the next Rabbin meeting, I'll say that every day we'll get up at 10:30 and we'll read a list in the base matters who didn't come to Minyan that day. Okay. Minyan attendance was skyrocketing. Okay, after 3 days. I don't want to hear my name. So there's something more visceral and something more palpable when, you know, you hear yourself being called out. So the guy's being called out and, at some point it sinks in. There's no big chiddush in Yudei Gavra if you say it that way. The shift doesn't have to be, but I don't have to say anything to make it make sense. The shift is Rashi. Once you say this is a sub-conversation in Rabbi Yehuda, what's the relationship between Rabbi Yehuda and saying Yudei Gavra? Let me say it differently, okay? I'm going to say it a little differently. It's the same logic, but listen carefully. By associating the strange requirement of Yudei Gavra, threaded Hasros with Rabbi Yehuda, you're saying the Rabbi Yehuda is a halal shein status change. Question is, Alex, what's the option of Yudei Torah? I'll say it again. This association, that Yehudei Gavra is only an option in Rabbi Yehuda, almost forces me to say that Rabbi Yehuda is categorically different from Rebbeir, rather than technically different. And in Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Chaloshein transformation, and that's why you need Yehudei Gavra. The question is, okay, what's the other tzad? Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that even though you need Richuk, you can say Yehudei Turah Halak? So one option is, okay, it's not a Chaloshein. That's the question. Yeah, I'll put it on the board in a second. This is really the core of the sugya. Okay, maybe let me put it on the board right now. I'll put it right here. I'm going to erase this table again. Rabbi Yehuda says three negichos. The Gemara says, oh, Rabbi Yehuda, if you say three negichos, I have an option for Yehudei Gavra and three hasros. If you say three hasros, says, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, that's not a unique Rabbi Yehuda idea. That's a Rabbi Meir idea. If you say, oh my gosh, three times, within one day, within 3 days. If you feel that the Yehudei Gavra and the three hasros is only within Rabbi Yehuda, it's because you're saying Rabbi Yehuda is a chalo shame, and therefore you need three hasros in 3 days. The question is, then what was the tzad to say Yehudei Turah and one hasra is enough? Is it Alex because we reject the chalo shame business, model A, if you hold Yehudei Turah? Or Alex, Yehudei Turah still holds, you accept chalo shame, but you only think the gichos create chalo shame and not the hasros. But this right here, look at this logical concept right here. That is the crux of the sugya. The Yehudei Gavra was only something I'm willing to consider, according to Rabbi Yehuda. If Yehudei Gavra was the oh my gosh theory, then it's applicable both to Rabbi Yehuda and to Rabbi Meir. We have to make sense of Yehudei Gavra. If it only applies to Rabbi Yehuda, what does that show us about Rabbi Yehuda? And that's the core of today's shiur. That saying that, establishing that dependency, that Yehudei Gavra is only something that Rabbi Yehuda invites or enables, proves to us that Rabbi Yehuda is categorically different from Meir. He's a chalo shame. And only within the context of chalo shame is Yehudei Gavra reasonable. Now the question is, okay, within the context of Rabbi Yehuda, what was the svar of Yehudei Turah? Okay, either because, Hillel, we just reject the whole chalo shame business, and therefore one asura is enough, or we accept the chalo shame, Alex, but the negichos create the chalo shame with one asura at the end being enough. But this is the move in the sugya that convinces. Someone stops you. You want to be a real, real Talmud Chacham, not even a beginner Talmud Chacham. Someone stops you. Prove Rabbi Yehuda holds chalo shame. Say the fact that Yehudei Gavra is an option for him and not for him. That's the kill shot of this stuff. You want to be a sniper, not just, you know, someone that plays around with lambdas. That's the kill shot. You walk into Shir and say, why is Yehudei Gavra uniquely Rabbi Yehuda and not Rav Meir? Because Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Ari are categorically different, not technically different. I mean, that's a kill shot of the sugya. That's really taking the lambdas by the throat. If Yehuda and Meir were just technically different, then they shouldn't differ about Yehudei Gavra. Yehudei Gavra is only an option going to Rabbi Yehuda because he's categorically different from Meir, and within his definition of Muad, Yehudei Gavra made sense. Okay, Alex, what's the Yehudei Turah going to Rabbi Yehuda? There are two models. But the common denominator of both models, Alex, my model and your model, is Yehudei Gavra and Rabbi Yehuda reflected it's a Chaloshim. Is Yehudei Turah saying it's not a Chaloshim, my model, or is Alex saying Yehudei Turah saying it's a Chaloshim but based on the Kichas? That's the crux of today's shiur, proving that Rabbi Yehuda holds Chaloshim. Okay, take a second. Everyone say Modani, wake up a little bit. Because of football last night, or just because it's cold, or combination, or hard sugya. Okay, maybe we'll end a little early. I see people a little bit fashluffing today. Okay. However, Yisrael David, there's another front to this sugya. So far, So far, we haven't taken the word Yehudei Gavra literally. Can someone tell me what Yehudei Gavra really means?
It's the person itself.
No, I'm saying what it means according to what we said so far. According to the pshat we've said so far, what's the language I've given? Threaded hasros. Not one comprehensive hasra, but threaded hasros. Yehudei Gavra is a fancy way of saying you need to have threaded hasros. Yehudei Turah is literally, the animal becomes a muad, avi either like the hashlama, even without giving the guy warning, that's ridiculous, it's crazy, or he even rejects it, or three negichas of the animal with a little bit of a warning. Yehudei Gavra means for some reason you need threaded warnings. Why do you need threaded warnings? Either because oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, is it? Or because the warnings are part of the Chal Hashem transformation, as Alex said before. Yisrael David is saying, wait a second. Maybe Yudei Gavra doesn't mean threaded Hasraos. Maybe Yudei Gavra is switching the entire, moving the entire goalpost. Who are we, whose status are we changing? The person's status. What in this sugya makes us say that? Other than the words. Or which we've shown him say it. So far, we have no proof that that's happening. And my minimalist tendencies make me think that, because there's only one afkamina, makes me think that Yudei Gavra is a fancy way of saying threaded Hasraos, which we can make sense without saying that you're changing the person's status. Are there any Rishonim in this sugya that start to make us think that the transformation is not happening in the animal, it's happening in the Baal? Who starts to talk, at least think in that language? Adir? Tosfos and Rabbeinu Peretz. We'll see the Rambam. Tosfos is not necessarily going to adopt it, but let's see Tosfos. Okay, Rashi, right. Once we see it in Tosfos and Rabbeinu Peretz and Rambam, we can see a little bit in Rashi, but that Rashi is just one word or two words, but correct. Okay. Let's see Tosfos, Rabbeinu Peretz, the Rambam, and then we'll stop. And then we'll continue this in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Okay? Does everyone see the three layers to the shir? The layering of the shir is more important than what happens in each layer, because I'm letting you create space and logic. All these things are more important than writing down my svara. The first layer is no big chidushin. The second layer is Rashi Shita, the twinning of Rabbi Yehuda with Yudei Gavra. That's big. Now we're going into Yisrael David land. What's forcing us to go there? Nothing other than the following we showed him. And, you know, the language of Rashi and the Gemara. Okay, so now we're going to the third layer of the sukkah. That Yudei Gavra doesn't just mean, oh, the animal becomes a mu'ad because you thread the hasrels, and either, oh my gosh, or because the hasrels are part of turning the animal to a mazik as a public proclamation. Evidently, we're not changing the animal, we're changing the baal. And that's going to be a major shift in Bava Kama. Okay, let's see Tosfos. E li Yudei Gavra. All these Tosfos in are deep and rich and short, so we like them. E li Yudei Gavra. Whoa, shehe muad lavar behasraos. Maybe li Yudei Gavra means we're not looking at the animal. Maybe we're looking at the person. And you are a rebellious Shana Aleph guy who doesn't listen to anyone because he went to, I don't know, school. You came to Gush because you don't want to listen to anyone. You want to be your own person. And you show yourself to be recalcitrant and swashbuckling. Three times you're told and you don't listen and you rebel. That's what it sounds to you, Degavra. We're warning. That's where we have to thread the warnings. If it was about the animal does three negichos. You just need the heads up so you know to watch your animal. The Degavra means we're trying to show that you are a criminal and you are rebellious. You're paro. Because what's Tosa's point? If you're paro, then what? Because the first negicha, right? If you have the normal what we know to be Yudei Gavra, right? So okay, I'm going to erase all this. I'll get back to it later. So Yudei Gavra means negicha hasra, negicha hasra, negicha hasra. So this is your first merit. This is your second merit. As your first merit, the first negicha didn't come in the wake of a warning. This is your negicha revius. This would be your third merit. So then you're going to be chayev negicha chamishas, says Tosfos. And because we know you're not chayev negicha chamishas, right? There's no Gemara that says that. The Gemara, Henry debates, are you chayev on the fourth or the third? Zabayin Rava. But you're not chayev on the fifth, that's for sure not. So evidently, Tosfos rejects the entire concept. Let's see Tosfos again. Amr Eli Yudei Gavra lo sheim word lavar behasrels. Dim kain lo hayim achayev anegicha shechamishas nezak shalem. El Eli Yudei sheyodiu b'chol pam shenegach sharo v'yishmerenu. Namely, it's all about the shore, it's not about the person. However, Eli Yudei Gavra means you have to find out after each negicha. Either because of the oh my gosh idea, or because of the chalo sheim idea that the Hasra provides. So Tosfos rejects the concept. Who accepts the concept and solves the fact that you're chayiv on four, not on five? Said it before? Rabbeinu Peretz. So Rabbeinu Peretz is going to maintain the concept. He's going to say something very radical, which we'll analyze, but we're not going to accept because it's very radical. But at least he accepts the concept that it's about the person, and then we'll see another Rishon who says it's about the person, and then we'll stop and go to Beis Din today and tomorrow and see what it means to change the person. Okay? So we're not going to accept this Rabbeinu Peretz, because Tosfos is right. We'll see what the Rabbeinu Peretz says, but instead of rejecting the theory because of the problem, Rabbeinu Peretz comes up with some duct tape solution for the problem, maintaining the theory, but all of a sudden Rabbeinu Peretz is thinking in Yisrael David's way. We'll see another Rishon who thinks in Yisrael David's way, and then we'll start to see if we can prove it in the Gemara and in the Rishonim. Okay, so that's our third layer now. Now we're moving. The first Yudei Gavra is the oh my gosh theory, which is equally applicable to Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda. The second Yudei Gavra is within Rabbi Yehuda. What role does Hasra play along with the Negichos in changing the status of the animal? Wake everyone up. Of the animal. It's made of animal sound. Of the animal. Yudei Gavra doesn't mean the person, it means the animal. But changing the animal requires proclaiming an Eidos about the animal. Now we're starting to think maybe Yudei Gavra is changing the person. How could you say it's changing the person? What are you changing the person? Are you making him more rebellious? He'd only pay after three rebellions, which would mean Negicha Rishon Hasra. Negicha Shnia Hasra, Negicha Shlishis Hasra, then he'd only have this third Hasra after the third Negicha, which would make the fourth Negicha into his third rebellion, which would make the fifth Negicha into his post-third rebellion negligence. So let's see what the Rabbeinu Peretz says. The Rabbeinu Peretz answers the question. It's going to be an interesting Chiddush, see if he can pluck out the Chiddush. We're not going to love the Chiddush. So we're going to go back to the other Rishonim. We'll try to solve the problem in a more categorical way. Let's see the Rabbeinu Peretz's Chiddush. How could you say it's about the person and yet you're chayev on Negicha Revius? That's on Chaf Dalet Amid Bey. So we'll just read the key line. The Im Tomar. Okay? Show of hands, who doesn't have Rabbeinu Peretz nearby on them? Shall you send a WhatsApp or everyone has Rabbeinu Peretz accessible? No? Okay, I'll send the Rabbeinu Peretz so everyone can see the Chiddush. Here it is. The Im Tomar. Heich Yischayev Nezek Shalem B'Negicha Dalet. Halo Negicha Dalet Hipshia Gimel Labaylem. Shrei B'Negicha Alev Lo Pasha. Shrei Lo Husrubo. Tim Kain Lo Haver Leilis Chayev Hipshia Dalet Le'achar Asra. Dainam B'Negicha Hei. And the answer of Tosfos is, that proves it is not about the Baal. Let's go back to Beis Medrash. The fact that you're not chayev on a gicha chavishas proves the whole theory is wrong. You're crazy, Yisrael Tafi. Says Tosfos, not me. Rabbeinu Peretz says, you're not crazy. What Tosfos sees is a kasha that punctures the concept that Rabbeinu Peretz sees as a kasha he has an answer for. You have to learn to read Rabbeinu Peretz alongside of Tosfos. And Alex see the difference. Tosfos used the kasha to prove his model. Rabbeinu Peretz used the kasha to give a chiddush to maintain his model. He said, you know what? It is about the Baal. He said, all David is correct. Oh, why chayev on number four? Negicha Revius is only your second post-Hasra rebellion. Because, right? After Negicha Rishona, you were warned. Negicha Shnia is your first rebellion after Hasra. Negicha Shlishis is your second post-Hasra rebellion. Negicha Revius is your third post-Hasra rebellion. So the only time you have rebelled three times against Beis Din's Hasra is by Negicha Chamishas. So you shouldn't be Chayav Negicha Revius because you've only rebelled twice. Namely, Negicha Shnia was your first post-Hasra rebellion. Negicha Shlishas was your second post-Hasra rebellion. Negicha Revius is only a Pshia after two Hasra post-Hasra rebellions. Why should you be Chayav Negicha Revius? So what does Rabbeinu Peretz say? I got open my Rabbeinu Peretz after that very dramatic closure of the Rabbeinu Peretz, which is what Tosfos would say, don't even open the Rabbeinu Peretz. I'm right. Rabbeinu Peretz says, Yesh Lomar, the olam is chayiv bi oso hezek, shehuchzak kvar lios poshea, the hezek dalid nasa liacha shehuchzak poshea bishmiraso, shekvar pasha gimel pamim kishehizek bepam zu. Take a moment of silence, read the Rabbeinu Peretz and think about it. What is he saying? If it's about the Baal, why are you chayiv or Negicha Revius? Negicha Revius is only one mered, two mered, three mered, and the Muad Nezek mered is only number five. Mered number one, rebellion number one, post-Hasra. Rebellion number 2 post Hasra. Rebellion number 3 post Hasra. Your only rebellion of a Muad is in the Yichah Hamishas. What does Ibn Peretz say? Anyone pick it out? Big Chiddush? Yishai?
Once you already had the third Hasra, it's a Muad even for that third action.
Loose. Say better. As opposed to the paradigm which assumes you're only chayav for X, Ibn Peretz is saying you'll be chayav for Y. What are the X's? What are the Y's? Adir.
Assume that
this is 4, by the way. 1, 2, 3, 4.
We assume that you're only chayav for rebelling against Beit Din, and now you're chayav for rebellion against Ankara and Yeshua.
You're getting it. You're starting the right way of thinking, Sharpie. You're getting there. Okay. You're let's say 10%. You're getting to the 30% range. Avi, bring us over 50.
You're
chayav for the Shia. 100%. Nail on the head. Nail on the head. That's a small nail, so he's a nail, not a big nail. Whereas in the small nails. After you received your third hasra, and you let the animal go out and do damage, you have already, in your third pshia, okay, hasra, pshia number 1, hasra, pshia number 2, hasra, pshia number 3, okay, Nezek Shamin. For the Pshia, even though the Nezek happened before I rebelled. The Chiddush of the Rabbeinu Peretz is you could be chayav for Pshia even without Nezek, as long as there's someone to pay. Listen, it's a very, very subtle point. I hope I'll be able to convey it to you. I didn't think properly enough how to say this to you. Nezek. That happened. Nezek. That happened. After. About you. Right. Okay. This is the Chiddush, and I want to say it as clear as possible because it's a major, major Chiddush. I want you to think about what's happening in the Sugya if you still doubt that it's correct. We'll see how this follows through. I would have thought that Bava Kama is based on, as we all say, Nezek. That's our Bava Kama view. Nezek happens, you need a Maisa Nezek. Hezek Shenetik or Lashma Hezek. It's not just about Hefzid. And we decide how to trace it back to you. And one of the ways to trace it back to you is Pshia. So now, we would have thought, which is Tosa's question, that if you need the Baal to be a Poshea, these are his horns, to be a Poshea, not to listen, and because he is a criminal and he didn't listen, above a comma then happens. So here, he's not yet a Poshea because he only didn't. Nezek 2, he's still not a criminal because he only rebelled once and let his animal do above a comma. Here he's not a criminal because he only rebelled twice. Here are the rebellions. Rebellion number 1, rebellion number 2. He rebelled twice and he let above a comma happen. Here it's number 4. He rebelled. Here he let his animal go out. And because he rebelled, so this is his third rebellion, and now he becomes a criminal, number 5, after he has proven that he has rebelled, and those 3 rebellions have led to Bava Kama. So the only time that we have 3 rebellions that yield a Maisa Nezek is after 4. Rebellion number 1 yields Nezek 2. Rebellion number 2 yields Nezek 3. Rebellion number 3 yields Nezek 4. So at what point does he become a Bava Kama criminal? After Negicha Revius, he has been a rebel in Bava Kama terms. To be a rebel in Bava Kama terms is not just to be James Dean. You know James Dean is whatever. Anyone know who James Dean is? Okay, 50s actor, rebel fan. Okay, to be a rebel doesn't mean you say Che Guevara in your t-shirt and you listen to heavy metal rock and roll. To be a rebel means you have to be a rebel in Bava Kamma terms. So you're a Bava Kamma rebel after three Bava Kamma events. Rebel, Bava Kamma event number one. Rebellion, Bava Kamma event number two, Negicha Shlishis. Rebellion, Bava Kamma event number three, which is the fourth Negicha. So after the fourth Negicha, you are now a rebel for Bava Kamma Nezek. And therefore that's Akasha, because we never find that you're only Chayav Negicha Chamishis. The Rabbeinu Peretz, Avi, is switching around what your Chayav is. You're not a rebel only for Bava Kamma Nezek. We're going to be Mechayav for being a rebel even before the Nezek happens. So, at this point, here's your first rebellion. Here's your second rebellion. As you don't watch your animal between 3 and 4, when you let your animal walk around, you have now proven to be a rebel for the third time. Rebellion number 1 ended up in Hezek 2. Rebellion number 2 ended up in Hezek 3. You had Asra, after in Hezek 3, and you didn't listen, and you let your animal go out at 12 o'clock, no Nezek has happened, now you pay. Assuming a Nezek will happen. Which means that Leman Diyamar Yudei Gavra, we're not just switching Hasra. What are we switching? Two words. Bava Kamma. You're Chayiv for rebellion, not for Nezek. Said otherwise, Muad is not upgrading the animal to a Bava Kamma Nezek, it's making the person pay for being a rebel. And not listening to Beis Din. That's a mic drop. Everyone see what just happened? You saw David, by changing the subject of the Hadar, we changed the nature of Shara Mu'ad Tzviya. We thought until now that Mu'ad was a way of taking a short time and putting it into the normal set of Mazikim. Short time is an outlier. Paganiska Kenosu, you couldn't have seen it coming. How do we take a short time and bring him into the group? Either we bring him into the group by augmenting the Pshia, you should have known, you should have known. Or we bring him into the group by turning him into a Shem Masik, Chalo Shem. Now we're saying, you know what? Karen will never be Chai for the Maisa Nezek because you can't control an animal with Kavanas Elhazik. But we can make Henry Chai for being recalcitrant and incorrigible and rebellious and intransigent and hateful and unlistening. And Henry, you're the most horrible person on earth because you rebelled 3 times. Now again, you're not going to pay for your rebellion. If you get up and say, I'm a rebel, you're not going to pay. And that's how the Bein HaPeretz answers the question. Avi, you see how powerful it is? The Chiv is not for the Bava Kamma. If we're looking at Nezek, this rebellion is a Bava Kamma rebellion that led to 2. This rebellion is a Bava Kamma rebellion that led to 3. This rebellion is a Bava Kamma rebellion that led to 4. After 4, you have proven to be a Bava Kamma criminal because your rebellion has led to Maisa Nezek. And we need to wait to the end of 4 in order for there to be a Maisa Nezek or else your original, I don't like Beis Din. Who cares that you don't like Beis Din? You're not liking Beis Din. Didn't yet create a Nezek. And until the Nezek happens, number 4, you're not a Bava Kamma criminal. To be a Bava Kamma criminal, your recalcitrance has to lead to Maisa Nezek, Noam, because without Maisa Nezek, there's no Chiyav. And that's the Kasha of Tosfos. And therefore, Tosfos rejects the whole concept. He says, the whole concept is off. It doesn't make sense. And the Beinu Peretz struggles to make sense of Tosfos, but he changes Bava Kamma so radically. Okay, this is your first rebellion after Hasra. This is your second rebellion after Hasra. This is your third rebellion after Hasra. Right now, you are a Mu'ad to disagree with Beis Din. I don't care what happens. You've proven yourself to not listen to Beis Din. And then, of course, if there's going to be damage, you're going to pay Nezek Shalim on that, even before the Nezek. You could be criminalized as a Mu'ad person, even without Maisa Nezek. Say that 5 times in your head. That's the power of a Beinu Peretz. You can be criminalized as a Mu'ad person, even before the Nezek happens. What? Even before the Nezek happens? That's so antithetical to Bava Kamma. The answer is, you're right, Shor HaMu'ad is not part of Bava Kamma. Shor HaMu'ad, Laman D'Yama Yudei Gavra, according to a Beinu Peretz, is not trying to make the animal worse. Because you have to be more poshea, it's more violence, more chaloshem. It's not about the animal, it's about you. And it's about finding you for not listening to Beis Din. So of course we need Beis Din, according to Avena Peretz. Wow, it's an amazing concept. Can we take Avena Peretz and scale it down a little? That's what we're going to try to do tomorrow. Can we still stay in Avena Peretz's space, where it's about you, but scale it down a little bit. It's not about your pashia unrelated to Bava Kamma. It's about your pashia within Bava Kamma. Your pashia leading to a nezek and your mechayef, not as some outlier unrelated to Bava Kamma, but some part of being mechayef for the ma'aseh nezek because of your repeated refusal to listen to Basin, repeated refusal to watch your animal. Okay? These are the three layers of today's shiur. Layer number one, no big chiddush in the sugya. Threaded hasros because of zev. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Incremental awareness. Period. The big break in the sugya is the twinning of Rabbi Yehuda and Yudei Gavra. And Rabbi Meir Yudei Gavra is inconceivable. The Gavra itself off the charts. In Rabbi Yehuda, there's room for Yudei Gavra. Why would you not say it? That's Alex and me, the two ways to say it. But Yudei Gavra proves that it's a chal Hashem change and needs negichos and hasra. Yudei Turi either says it's not a chal Hashem change, it's one hasra is enough, or it is a chal Hashem change, and only the negichos do it, not the subsequent hasra. In Tosfos, in the Beinu Peres, you start to hear a different voice. And that different voice is, Yudei Gavra doesn't mean threaded hasros, either psychologically or conceptually. It means we're turning the person into something else. What are we turning the person into? We're making him a criminal. In the Rabbeinu Peretz, that criminalization happens outside of the classic definitions of Bava Kamma. You become a criminal to not listen. What do you mean, I get punished to not listen? Yes. You get punished for not listening to Basin. It would be the equivalent of saying, Hillel, oh, now that I know what Muad is, if you refuse to divorce your wife three times, you pay Nezek Shalim. Because we have created a new paradigm that people who refuse to listen to Basin pay Nezek Shalim. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. There's no Nezek to pay. But it's not a Bava Kamma concept. We're going to Basin and say, you know, you don't come to the davening 3 days, pay Nezek Shalim, pay Nezek Shalim. Anything that Basin defines, if you disagree with Basin, you pay the fine of Nezek Shalim. Obviously not. It's limited to where there's some damage to pay for. But it's not because you're a Bava Kamma criminal, because you can't be, because this is Karen. And Karen is, or remember, we go all the way back to Daf Dalet. I can't be chayav for animals that have a mind of their own, just like I can't be chayav for Eved Amma, because Yesh Lem Das. So when my animal just acts normally, like fire pits Shein Virega, I'm chayav. My animal says, I'm angry, I want to go destroy Ari's Rishus, I can't be chayav. And therefore, I only pay Chatzin Ezek, which is a Knas, and even more. It really isn't. It's out of Knas, it's not a Knas. But even more, it is not upgrading the animal to regular Shein and Regal. It's creating a separate tract. We don't like it, but you see the Rabbeinu Peretz, Yisrael David, by creating an extreme, has already set a paradigm for us to take a little bit less extreme and try to build within it. That's what we're going to build tomorrow. We're going to see the Rambam, we're going to see Reb Chaim, we're going to see Reb Akiva Eger, and the Makaris that I gave you. And part of the way we're going to try to sharpen it is now diving even deeper into, okay, until today's contrast was between Negichos and Beis Din. Now we're going to look at Beis Din in particular, what part of Beis Din changes the mood? Who has to be there? How does the Eidus happen? Is it the Eidus? Is it the Hasra? So you see how now becoming a little bit more magnification. Not the offset between Negichos and between the Hasra, but the offset in Beis Din, what changes the status if you hold to Yudei Gavra? What has to happen in Beis Din if you hold to Yudei Gavra as opposed to Yudei Turah? That will help us sharpen what Yudei Gavra is. Just before I answer your question, Yishai, and think again about whether you can have, according to what we're saying right now, according to this Yudei Gavra, can you have this story? Where you spread the Negichos, and you spread the Hasraos independent of the Negichos. If Hasra, Yisrael David, is about the person, not the animal. And it's not Hasra plus Negicha that does it. Maybe Hasra alone does it, based on Negichos. Obviously, you can't just warn you, you're a bad guy, you're a bad guy, you're a bad guy. There has to be three Negichos spread over time in order to create something to warn you about. But once I create something to warn you about, it's not about changing the animal. It's about changing the person. So I need to warn you about something. So I need the something to happen. Three times Negichos. But in theory, I could warn you on separate days. Your animal gored Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Say that on Wednesday. Animal gored Sunday, Thursday. Say on Friday. Can I create this split? From the Rambam, it sounds like you can. It sounds like that you need both in separate for separate reasons. This puts all the weight in your Yudei Gavra. Yes, Yishai.
Just to clarify our terms, is it fair to say that the Rabbeinu Peretz agreed that practically there are threaded hasras between the Yehichas, but he thinks that there's a different...
For sure, for sure. It's not about threading the Hasraos, it's creating context for rebellion. So of course you have the third Asura, but not because of the oh my gosh theory, and not because you're converting the animal in stages in Asura Dasid, because you're showing this person to be an unredeemable rebel. And his rebellion happens after he doesn't listen, leading to Negicha Revias, even before Negicha Revias. That's an amazing Rabbeinu Peretz. Take a few minutes in Seder and think about how Rabbeinu Peretz changes not all of Bava Kamma, but makes Muad different from the rest of Bava Kamma to solve this problem, which is no surprise, right? If I came into this year an hour ago and I said, you know what, Yudhi Gavra means that Ashar Muad can never be chayav for normal Bava Kamma reasons, which is being chayav the person for his continued negligence. That would be something I could convince you of an hour ago. Now I've grounded in Rabbeinu Peretz. But in theory, we can build a theory where you can't take Karen and make him Chayiv Nezek Shalim based on normal Bava Kamma rules. To be Mechayiv Karen Nezek Shalim, to get to Muad, you have to slap the person and make him pay for doing something wrong. You can't make him pay for his animal. It's about him and Beis Din, not about him not watching the animal. Because there's no way for him to watch an animal that has self-authorship. That's where Rabbeinu Peretz is moving us. We want to see if we can move to Rabbeinu Peretz without, you know, completely amputating the nezek from the pshia. Yishai? Okay? Okay, we'll stop here. The makaros are out already. I have sheets already in the office. Let's go together. Let's try to finish this up. We'll finish this up, Mirz Hashem, tomorrow. And towards the end of the week, we'll take one look at the Gemara Lamed Zayin about a Mord Lamino, having Mord L'Sheino Mino, and hopefully we'll wrap up the sugya of Mord. Okay? Shkoch, everyone. Good morning. Wake up. Rise and shine. Everyone. Our Seder is beginning. Let's do it. Okay.